Uncanny Japan is author me, Teresa Matsura, exploring all that is weird from old Japan. Strange superstitions and old wives' tales, cultural oddities and interesting language quirks. These are little treasures I dig up while doing research for my writing, and I want to share them with you here on Uncanny Japan. I hope you like the show. Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to May's Uncanny Japan. The rice fields have been tilled and flooded, and that background noise you hear is a million tiny frogs. This month, I want to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects, smallpox. Actually, it's more fun than smallpox, because while smallpox made its way around the world, what I'm going to tell you about today is very uniquely Japanese. That is, the god of smallpox. Remember back when science wasn't what it is today and things like bad weather and disease were thought to be the act of an angry, vengeful, unseen god? Well, in Japan's case, many of those scourges were believed to be the work of an actual, not unseen, god. In the case of smallpox, it was a god with skinny legs, wild hair, and a blood-red mouth. He's called Hosogami, or sometimes Hososhin. Hoso means smallpox, and shin or kami is the character for god. Even though he's called a god, he's not a good one. Hosogami is an akugami, or an evil god. He is also one of the yakubyogami or ekibyogamis. Again, gami we know is god, and ekibyo and yakubyo mean pestilence. Let's get to the fun stuff. The superstitions behind this virulent god. To start with, there are two things the god of smallpox didn't like. They were the color red and dogs. First, why red? There are many, many beliefs why red was thought to be a protecting and a healing color in Japan, but instead of going into all of those, I want to tell you about one that's very specifically related to the smallpox disease. It's said that when a person contracted smallpox, doctors and caregivers would keep an eye on the color of the pustules of their patient's skin. So by simply observing the changes in the sores, they could predict the person's fate. If the pox turned or stayed red, then the case would be relatively mild and the patient would recover. If the pox, however, turned purple, he or she would get worse, and more likely than not, they would probably die. So in that case, red equaled good and it equaled recovery. Second, why dogs? I found lots of places that said dogs were used to protect and help heal a sufferer, but there was only one story I could find as to why. The story goes there was a well-known ronin, a masterless samurai, whose wife came down with the disease. One day, while she was lying on her futon, she was feverish and slipping in and out of consciousness. She looked over, and in the corner of the room, she saw this scrawny, creepy-looking creature just standing there, staring at her. After some time, it told her, "I am the god of smallpox." No one else could see it, of course, but the ronin and his servants, after hearing his wife's story, quickly put out sake and lit candles and incense, and they tried to scare away whatever it was. None of this worked. The wife said he was still there, he was still creepy, and he was still staring at her. Also, her condition continued to grow worse. It wasn't until the ronin's favorite dogs, 5 or 6 Pekingese, entered the house, burst into her room, and started barking at the corner did the grotesque figure finally get up and leave. After that, the ronin's wife made a full recovery. Dogs equal good. Because of these two beliefs, people used to decorate their house with various talismans to keep the god of smallpox away. Little statues of dogs were set around, as well as things that were red. Red-painted scrolls were often hung up, and these scrolls depicted Shouki. Now, Shouki is pretty cool. He comes from China, and he's this big, angry, scary-looking god, and he's thought to prevent plagues and to keep all other bad things away. He's also believed to be in charge of 80,000 demons. So basically, a good guy in charge of a lot of bad guys used to defeat really bad guys. These methods of keeping the Hosogami at bay didn't always work, of course, and sometimes he got into a town anyway. When that happened and an outbreak of smallpox did occur, Plan B was initiated. More dog statues and more red items were introduced, and they were placed around the patient. Sometimes long pieces of red cloth were hung from the ceiling, surrounding the sick person's bed. Another method of encouraging healing was to dress the sick person, the ailing person, in completely red clothes all the way down to their underwear. In the case of children, red toys were set about the bedding. One of these was called a taisha. Tai means sea bream and sha is car. The toy looks like a little fish on wheels with a string so that it could be pulled around by a child. It was just a normal toy, and most children had one, except that a sea bream is red. This meant that if a child fell ill with smallpox, the plaything was actually elevated to a way to help the child recover quickly. There was also a practice that's mentioned a lot in the Edo era called akae, or red pictures. They're also called hosoe. These were drawings of heroic figures who were thought to be able to defeat the smallpox god. One was a samurai called Tametomo. The reason he was used to be a defender of health was because he once was exiled to an island called Hachijo. As it turns out, smallpox never appeared on that island. The thinking was that Tametomo kept the disease away. These hosoe were used as coloring sheets, with the sick child tracing or coloring in the line drawing of, say, again, Tametomo or Shoki or even Daruma. These pictures were colored, hung up, and then if the child got better, they were burned. I'm guessing if the child didn't get better, they were also burned, because it sounds like it's very difficult to find any akai that have been used. I found some photos of ones that haven't been colored in yet, and I'll post those up on the Uncanny Japan website. Smallpox was so contagious that it wasn't just one family's problem. If even a single person caught the disease, the entire town would rally together to fight off the god. There would be special events called Hoso Kamiokuri, seeing off the god, where the townspeople would play drums, flutes, ring bells, and parade around the town, even doing a smallpox dance, Hoso Odori, all with the express purpose, again, to rid the town of the offending deity. An interesting side note is that some people believed that the Hoso Gami wasn't evil at all. He didn't need to be banished so much as appreciated and appeased. These people thought that the disease itself was a manifestation of all your bad human stuff, and that the Hoso Gami took it out of you and gave you the pox. It was actually helping you to be clean, to cleanse you of your sins. So in effect, if you didn't die, you would be a very, very good human being, albeit horribly scarred and more likely than not blind. One example of this way of thinking comes from a town in Niigata. Here, the caregiver wove shoes or hats out of straw. Then, after a week from catching the pox, the same caregiver would put the shoe or the hat on top of the sick person's head and chant, Hoso Gami Gokuro Sama Deshita, which is kind of like, thank you, Hoso Gami, thank you, God of Smallpox. You've worked very hard. You can go now. There is no information about which of these superstitions seem to have worked the best. Basically, smallpox was an awful disease and it destroyed entire families and towns and did a lot of damage. So there you have it, the god of smallpox. I'll leave you with one last piece of trivia. This is something I've been holding on to for years and years, and I've always thought it was interesting, but I've never had the opportunity to ask anybody, so I'm going to ask you. If smallpox is small, the smallpox, what is the big pox or the grand pox? And the answer is syphilis. So on that happy thought, I will thank you all for listening, and I ask only that you give your dog a great big hug from me, and tell him or her thank you for keeping the pestilence away. I will talk to you again next month. Bye-bye. Psst. Hey, do you like scary stories? Or maybe you don't do full-on horror, but enjoy a nice dark tale, something creepy involving Japanese folklore and superstition? Well, if that's the case, you can sneak on over to Amazon or wherever you like to buy books and look for my two short story collections, A Robe of Feathers and The Carp-Faced Boy. All you need to do is search for Teresa Matsura. Let me spell that for you. Teresa Matsura. Another place you can find me doing things is on Patreon. There, once a month, for my $5 and up patrons, I translate, retell, and record obscure Japanese folk tales. Some are dark, some are humorous, some are just weird. And lastly, another super sweet thing you can do is to write a review on iTunes. By doing this, you help like-minded people find Uncanny Japan. It's a little thing, but it means a lot, and it's a great big help. Thank you always. I'm Teresa Matsura, and I'll talk to you soon.